just reading this evening is taken from Joel, the second chapter. I'll be reading the first verse. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. I've been trying to pick a book of the month. I kind of did that last year. I might continue that this year as well. For our Sunday evenings this month, I'd like to look at the book of Joel. And if you turn your Bibles over there, we'll kind of try to look at a sprinkling of the first couple of chapters. But over the last few years, I have gained a deeper respect for the minor prophets. I think, you know, as we grow and mature and understand the scriptures better, I think one of the best things is really trying to understand the situations that these individuals find themselves in. And when it comes to minor prophets, really the minor prophets are really preaching at a time where God's people and God's nation is falling apart. We have a united kingdom with Saul, David, and Solomon, and after Solomon, the kingdom kind of split. And we have Israel and Judah, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, and the northern kingdom's going to have all kinds of problems. In fact, they don't even really get off on the right foot. In Judah, they have their ups and downs. But these minor prophets, they really are working in such a time where many people are not going to be receptive to their message. In fact, we see so many times these minor prophets go out, they put really their livelihood, their whole life, into trying to warn, persuade, and change individuals, and really at the end of their lives, sometimes it's worse off than when they started. Not because of themselves individually, but just the nation is just falling, and it's decaying at such a rapid rate that the prophets, these minor prophets who are trying to pull back and say, stop, we're going the wrong direction, we're not doing the right thing, are just overwhelmed by the evil of their day. Certainly these men served. They served honorably, and really they served in some of the hardest situations. You know, there are two minor prophets that are perhaps harder to date than others, and I think those are kind of Obadiah and Joel, although we can probably get a ballpark on where Joel was. But really, I'd like to focus on one of the overarching messages of the book of Joel. You know, a lot of the minor prophets, we get a little of their backstory. We get a little bit of their history. You know, we learn that Amos was a farmer, and some of the things that he did, working with the figs and things of that nature. He kind of has that background. We have Hosea, who marries a prostitute. When it comes to Joel and his background, it is perhaps limited, but his message still stands the test of time. Joel's name means Jehovah is God. And really, I think even as you look at the spots that Joel could be in the timeline, it's no doubt in my mind that the nation is struggling with just that idea. Jehovah is God. Well, how could people forget that? How could God's people forget that? They have. God is not number one in their lives. God is not number one in their worship. God is not number one in their conduct. God has slipped to second in every area. You know, that is one idea that I think Joel tries to hammer through in the first couple chapters. That Jehovah is God. If you look at chapter 2, and just looking at a sprinkling of verses of just that idea, so many of the minor prophets, they had names that had meanings, and Joel's means Jehovah is God. If we just look at a few sprinkling of verses, chapter 2 and verse 23. It says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. It is amazing how many times that is going to pop up throughout the book of Joel. The Lord is your God. You can look at verse 26 in chapter 2. It says, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God." The Lord your God. The Lord your God. Joel is trying to remind a fallen nation, a fallen group of people, that Jehovah is God and He is not reigning in their lives. Certainly, there are certain limitations that we have with Joel's background, but his message is very clear. And one of the themes, I think, in the book of Joel is a need to repent, a need for the people to change. And you know what? That message is just as strong today. People need to change. People need to repent. You know, and as we go into this new year, so many people, they consider their lives and they think, what do I need to change? What did I perhaps get addicted to this last year that is consuming too much of my time that I need to back away from? And I know there's some things we have to cut totally out of our lives, but sometimes there are things that just start to build in our lives. They end up becoming so big, they start squishing out God. Not necessarily things that are evil in and of themselves, but when they shove God to the sideline, perhaps there's a problem there. But Joel says, you need to repent. He is really trying to get that message across. We need to repent. We need to change. And certainly that is a Bible theme throughout the Bible. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, it says, "Truly this time of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Joel is calling to individuals to get their lives back together, to get their lives back on the right track and to live right. The day of the Lord is referenced throughout the book with the idea of the day is coming and repentance is needed before that day comes. If you repent, there will be blessings and compassion. If you do not repent, in terms of Joel, we see the idea of a locust, fire, and drought. Joel is pleading for the people to change. Perhaps we could say that Joel is trying to warn the people. And for our first lesson, I'd kind of like to focus on that idea, is that Joel is trying to warn these people. He's trying to call out to these people and tell them to change. And I think we see it throughout the book. Chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land." Now, if you look at verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Joel." And then, you see in verse 2, it says, "Hear this, you elders." Joel is getting the word of the Lord, and he is trying to take it to those people that can make a difference. Those people that many times have fallen short in the nation. But he says, "Hear this, you elders." He's about to warn them. He's about to try to get across these individuals. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Joel is trying to turn the nation. He is trying to change these people's minds. He's trying to get them to do what they should be doing. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand." Joel is trying to warn these individuals of things that are coming, and his call is for them to change. Joel was trying to do his job, and Joel was trying to give a godly warning to these people. I'd like you to think about that just for a few moments this evening, a godly warning. Would you be willing to do what Joel is trying to do for these people? Joel is trying to warn the people that a day is coming, that they need to repent, they need to be right with God, they need to be ready. Would you be willing to do what Joel is doing in his time? Number one, we see that Joel is giving a warning. Would you be willing to give a warning to someone? You know, one of the first places that pops into my mind about that is Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel chapter 33, it gives us this picture of a watchman. And of course, we have another prophet of God. But when we think of prophets of God, when we think of Christians, when we think of servants of the Lord, we should be giving out warnings to individuals that are around us. Joel is trying to do it with his people, the people that are around him in his time. Would you be willing to do the same and give a warning to those that are out in the world? In Ezekiel chapter 33, the Bible says this. says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. You know, you have this picture of a watchman. And I think we can relate to this if we thought about a military or anything in that nature, is that you have a watchman. You have somebody who's watching over. Others might be sleeping at that time, but you have this watchman that's watching, so if an attack comes, they can warn everybody, and they can get to safety. The watchman has some responsibility. If the watchman warns this individual, the watchman kind of has a clear conscience. The watchman did the watchman's job. But if the watchman is negligent, does not warn those that are in the town when the enemy is coming, that watchman is going to be held accountable. What would you say if Joel did not try to warn the people of his day? What if he did not try to go out to those individuals and say, there is something that is coming, you need to repent, you need to be prepared. Would Joel have been doing his job if he had not been warning individuals that were around him? And I think we know the answer. It's like, Joel, you need to go out there. Joel, you need to warn the nation. Joel, you need to do the best you can. Even if they don't listen, you have a moral obligation to do the best you can to try to warn these individuals. Do we feel the same way with our Christian responsibility? Our Christian responsibility to try to warn those that are around us. It continues in Ezekiel chapter 33. It says, For so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Of course, this is from Ezekiel chapter 33. It says, So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not seek to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. There is an idea I think we find in Scripture that we do not want to be found negligent with our Lord. We do not want to be found not doing what God has asked us to do. And I think as we go throughout the Scriptures, we see the idea that we should be trying to warn people that are around us, our friends, our family, our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ, even our enemies. Are you willing to give a warning? I think many of us understand it's perhaps more difficult than sometimes we would care to admit. There's something that sometimes gets in the way of us warning those that are around us. We know it's coming. We know that it would not be good for those individuals, and yet something sometimes holds us back from blowing the trumpet and sending out the warning to those that are around us. And you know what? I think our world has done everything to silence the trumpet of warning. Christians, you just be quiet over there. We don't want to hear what you have to say. Christians, we don't want to hear you in the workplace. We don't want to hear you in the schools. We don't want to hear you in the communities. We don't want to hear you talking about Jesus returning. We don't want you talking about the judgment. We don't want you talking about the idea that some could not be prepared for the day of the Lord. The question is, will the trumpet be blown? Will the call go out? You understand that giving a warning is an act of love. You know, we think about that example. I don't think we struggle many times with the physical example. It's like if that guy is on the wall and he sees the enemy coming or wherever he's stationed at, if he sees the enemy coming and he doesn't blow the trumpet, isn't that the worst thing that that individual could do? But yet we might do that all the time in our spiritual life. We won't blow the trumpet for those in our family. We won't blow the trumpet for those that are our friends. We won't blow the trumpet for those that are our co-workers. Why? Because the world has told us to not blow the trumpet. No one needs to be warned about what is coming. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, it says this. It says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And you know, you think about that idea, are we a watchman in many cases when we're trying to serve the Lord? There are warnings that need to go out. And these are not taught. They really shouldn't be hard because they should be an act of love. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this. It says, Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 15, it's getting in that idea of trying to help our brothers and sisters in Christ that have wandered off the straight and narrow path. And it says, Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You know how many times I've tried to get my brothers out of trouble? You know how many times my brothers have tried to get me out of trouble? It's the loving thing to do to try to warn those that are around us. There were times that we were in the hayfield and there was a snake over there. What does my brother yell out? There's a snake. Now, it would be more loving for him to just say, there's not a snake over there, right? But many times, that's how people handle their spiritual lives, is these individuals are going close to danger even, or they are partaking in things that are dangerous, and no one says anything. You just say, well, the loving thing is not to say anything. I don't know, but my family, we would try to talk to each other with concern, care, and love. It wasn't a gotcha. It's, I love you, I'm concerned about you, I care about you, so I'll say something. And many times, if we don't say something, perhaps we don't care. And that's a hard one. And I'm not saying that we've mastered all these things, but there are some people in our life they need to be warned. They need us to approach them with concern, care, and love, and try to blow the trumpet. I know this is not necessarily the easiest thing, but I think Paul really tried to live his life this way. I think Paul, as he traveled and he tried to preach, I think Paul tried to live his life with a clean conscience. I think everywhere he went, he tried to warn, he tried to teach, he tried to preach, he tried to do the best he could to make sure that people knew what was going on, the dangers that face that should be that need to be aware of in the Christian life. And in Acts chapter 20, verses 27 through 31, Paul says there, For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He's talking to the elders here. He says, For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I think Paul never held back when it was coming to try to tell people what needed to be said to them. He said, For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. Do you live your life in good conscience in relation to warning those that are around you? Paul's about to leave. He spent 3 years here. He's talking to the elders, and he says, I have not shunned to tell you everything that you need to be told. And then he gets to the end, and he says, I've been with you 3 years. He says, Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul did the best he could to warn those that are around them, and I think we have an obligation as well. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I wonder if sometimes we can say that with confidence. Paul could. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul was telling people the truth. He tried to do it in a loving way, a concerned way, a caring way. He tried to warn those that were around. Sometimes I think Paul was very bold and he was very forward, but he was going out of love. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Many times the preacher becomes people's enemy. Because the words sometimes that come out of a preacher's mouth, which should be the words of God, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, sometimes they cut harder and deeper, and sometimes the truth cuts the deepest. Would you be a Joel if you were in Joel's time? Would you try to warn those that were around you? You know, so many people are rooting for us to warn this world. You know, I think of the situation we find in Luke chapter 16, where we have the account, and this individual is in punishment, and he is asking for a few things. In Luke chapter 16, verse 28, it says this, it says, "For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." You know, so many people are rooting for you to blow the trumpet. And many times I fear that sometimes that trumpet is not blown. The trumpet of warning. So number one, would we be a Joel if we were in Joel's day? Would we give a warning? Number two, would you heed a warning? You know, somebody that I think about when it comes to heeding warnings, I think about Noah. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." You know, there's one thing about giving a warning, but there's another part of the story you think about heeding the warning. Noah was willing to heed a divine warning from God. And you know, when I think about that, we really have the same opportunity as Noah to heed a warning. It says that Noah was divinely warned. Well, how was he warned? He heard a message from God. You know what? We are divinely warned as well. We are divinely warned with a message from God. And you know what? The only way you can really see these things is by faith. The only way Noah could see that flood coming was by faith. He heard what God said. He believed it. He was moved with godly fear, and he prepared. Will you heed the warnings of God? See, we've been warned of things that are coming down the road. The judgment that is coming, the return of our Lord that is coming, the great accounting that will be at that time. Will you be moved as Noah was by faith? Not just a belief, but a belief that moves him to action to prepare the ark. See, many people want to say that they're prepared for when the Lord comes back. Many individuals want to say they have faith. But really, when we look at Noah, Noah heard and he acted. And you know what? We have to do the same thing in our lives. We have to hear and we have to act. Faith without work is dead. Noah certainly had a faith that led to action, and that's the faith that we need to have, not a dead faith. Do you need warnings? Do you need the warnings of the Bible? The Bible is full of warnings. You go to Matthew chapter 25, and you just read through. I really think it's really a stacking of multiple warnings. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the virgins there, the parable of the 10 virgins. And what's the warning there? Be prepared, because the bridegroom is coming. And the bridegroom is going to come at a time that you do not expect. Be prepared for Jesus coming back. And then it goes right into the parable of the talent. And what's the idea there? Be prepared. The master is coming back to account for the talent which he has given us. And then Matthew chapter 25, it goes into a judgment scene where there's a separation of the sheep and the goats. There are so many warnings in just one chapter of the Bible. Jesus is going to return. That is a warning. Be ready. Be prepared. There's going to be an accounting when the Lord comes back. Be ready. Be prepared. You know that at the end of time, there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a separation. Be prepared. Be ready. There's one thing to give a warning. There's another thing to heed the warning. Certainly Noah did that. But you know the saddest picture of all is when the warning is not heeded. Certainly warnings need to go out. warnings need to be heeded, but you understand that many times warnings will not be heeded. You know, as you think of Joel, how many warnings he tried to send out to the people that went unheeded. I think of the Apostle Paul. I think he was incredibly hurt by this. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know, I believe that. When I read about the Apostle Paul, I read about his life, I look about his service to the congregations as he traveled around, it's very clear through the Apostle Paul's actions, he was trying to warn as many people as he could because he knew that that was an act of love. And it broke his heart when warnings went unheeded. When he warned about the dangers over here, and the people went over there, and he warned about the dangers here, and the people went over there, and he warned the people and said, "You need to change," and the people did not change, I'm sure that broke Paul's heart. So many warnings go unheeded. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "Envy, murderers, drunkenness, revilers, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So many warnings going unheeded. So many warnings the Apostle Paul preached and taught and tried to get out. So many rejected warnings. And we don't rejoice when warnings are not heeded. Even by the hardest enemies of the Lord, a warning unheeded is such a sad picture. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Apostle Paul says, "It is not pleasant for me to tell you that many people have rejected my warning. It is not my pleasure to tell you that there are many enemies of the cross. I weep about such things, people that have not heeded the warning." Will you heed the warnings of God? You know, in Joel chapter 2, he is really preaching a message of repentance. And look at chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, and we'll end right here. He is preaching, repent, change. He's trying to warn the people. And look at chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." Will you repent? Will you change? Will you heed the warnings of God? Will you give warnings as needed as you go throughout your life? If you need to become a New Testament Christian, need the prayers of the church, we'd love to help you in any way we can. If you come, if you stand up, we stand.